if I go to the Joshua Tree and I want to, will mushrooms make me not remember, like really experience it?
Oh, you'll experience it. And also, it's not the Joshua Tree. That's not like a spot.
That's how Guido.
Yeah.
I sound like it's a nightclub. We're going to go to the Joshua Tree tonight. We're going to fuck it.
Hey, mambo, mambo, Italiano. Hey, mambo, mambo, Italiano. Go, go, Joe. You mixed up Siciliano. Oh, you calabrese, do the mambo like crazy. And hey, mambo, don't want to die. Mambo Italiano, try an enchilada with a fish of bacalhau.
And welcome to another exciting edition of Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank podcast. I'm the host, Ari Shaffir. And today, we have a very special guest on the show, one Mr. Paul Verzi. Now, Paul is a borderline Guido. That's right. It's a slur for Italians, and they have taken it on as a compliment, which it is not. It is a slur. Guidos. Paul dabbles in Guido. It's disgusting. As you know, for many years I have said that Italians are the worst of the whites. I have now modified that to possibly include Albanians. I have to do more research. Paul has a new special out on Netflix called Nocturnal Admissions. Check it out right now. Nocturnal Admissions is a killer. Always destroys the stand. I've known him for many years. Myself, I have big shows coming up. Quite big shows. The biggest at the Beacon Theater in New York City. March 24th. That's right. March 24th, the Beacon in New York City. Tickets are now on sale. Finally, get tickets quick. They will be going quite rapidly. Also, I'm at the Moore Theater in Seattle on February 23rd, followed by Vancouver. My second show at the Vogue has just been added. First show sold out the 25th. This will be February 24th. Added a Monday show that already sold out in Salt Lake. Adding a second one, Denver, Friday and Saturday. The early shows have already sold out. Hurry up and get tickets. That's in February. And San Jose is coming. Zurich, Switzerland should be on the schedule soon. The UK and Europe are going on sale at the end of January. So check back at my website towards the end of January. Get the pre-sale tickets. I've got Glasgow. I've got Manchester. I've got London. Slovenia, two cities in Romania, Athens, Greece, Israel. Whew, I don't even know where else I'm going. Amsterdam, Stockholm, Sweden, Berlin, Adamaresplast. Everything will be on sale at the end of January. Guys, here's the thing about Guidos. They try to pretend to be something they're not. And me and Paul got to the bottom of it. We discussed it. I'm in Pittsburgh, by the way. If you're watching on YouTube.com, where you want to subscribe, I've got a new stand-up clip coming. Some crowd work thing from New York Comedy Club. I'll upload that this week. I'll upload it this week. Maybe next week. Depending how my skiing goes out in Utah. They all act like they're fucking this thing that they're not. I always say, everyone tries to be Tony Soprano Italian, and almost nobody tries to be Chef Boyardee Italian. It's interesting. Why are you denying a part of yourself? Oh, I'm going to skip this rock. Guys, here's what I did in Ecuador. My entire time in Ecuador, you know, I learned a lot. I did a lot. But one thing I got great at is skipping stones. That was a nice one. Big jump. Skipping stones on rivers is one of the hardest things, and I got really good at it. That's got to pick up, right? Let's start the episode. I think I have nothing else to add. San Jose, Zurich, I don't know. I said all my dates. Check out Paul Verzi's dates as well. See him in New York. See him in Boston. And let's start the episode. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 501. Rick Glassman will be next week. But 501 this week, Paul Verzi, Guido adjacent. Starts as soon as I triple skip this fucking rock over this river in Pittsburgh. Oh, you know it. Start the show. Zumba, 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 bacala. Cella luna, mezzo mare, mamma mia, maradona. Fiki mia, cutterara, mamma mia, pensaccio.
to New York, be Shaolo, eat the bar, eat the band, sempre bacalana, maradena. Sit you big, your fantasy, bacalana, maradena. Oh, 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 mama, in the bus, so my bacalana, I don't know, oh, mama, in the bus, so my bacalana.
A new special's out right now called, wait, let's see if I remember it. Paul Virgil on Netflix.com.
Netflix is a joke. Yeah.
Netflix.
Whatever it is.
Wait, it's called. Fuck. I mean, Paul Virgil, you want to look that up. What's it called?
Nocturnal Admissions.
Damn it. Nocturnal Admissions.
Yes.
So that's a take on Nocturnal Omissions, which is
emissions.
Semen.
Yes.
Emissions.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was, because I talked about how I'm more of a nocturnal person my whole life since I'm little. And then we were trying to think of what could we use with the word nocturnal?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I was like, well, I'm talking about my life. What about admissions instead of emissions? But yes.
Great. Play on words. Now you have, but or is your skeptic tank? It's the same. You know what I mean?
There you go.
You make it say something else by one small change.
Nocturnal Admissions. Yeah, it's doing really well on there. It was trending. So check it out. Really appreciate it.
That's great, dude.
Yeah, dude. When you find out that it's like going good, you're like, yes.
Did you, when it came out, were people like, did you get recognized?
I got recognized and a lot of fake shit. You know, industry. Oh, yeah. There's people that don't know you or people that would walk past you and all of a sudden either say something funny about it or you know, hey, congrats, you know, but, you know, there were a couple people. Hey, man,
that's
so
great because you can see through it and you're like.
Yeah, and it's like, listen, dude, I've been here and I've been in the clubs working and I'm going to continue to. And just because it wasn't your thing for your festival at that moment, you know,
yeah.
It's like, you know, so.
It's funny. I talked to Eddie Griffin once about this and I did my first commercial. And this girl who was to work at Dublin's, I would say hi. She's in the scene. Cute girl, though, but like never hit on her or anything. Just like, hello. She wouldn't even say hello back to me.
Yeah.
Then I did a commercial. She's like, oh, I saw you in a commercial. And I was like, you wouldn't even give me a hello back.
Yeah.
And Eddie's like, so you want to know like what to do now that it's like, they're clearly being fake. They're only liking you now because of that.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, what do you do? He goes, you have sex with them. He goes, that's your revenge. You have sex with them. I'm like, damn, good advice, dude.
No, it was cool, like, to get recognized, to be like, dude, I watched it. And then I watched it. I told other people to watch it. And like, that was, because the word of mouth is like, means it's doing well.
Yeah.
You know,
because
you don't want somebody to go, you know, or like.
It's great. It's great when they, I don't know what happened with Netflix exactly, but, and the pandemic and like, we couldn't shoot stuff. And then it just became like, oh shit, all these real comics have specials. So let's just buy a shitload of those.
I feel like 22 was like the year specials came back. Comedy came back.
It's like Santino's coming out with one. It's just like, oh, let's just get some regular comics who are just good.
I think that's what happened, where they were like, oh, these
people. Oh, we're failing as a business model because we keep going like, well, we've never had a fucking Eskimo comic.
Like, let's give
trans.
It to guys that are 15 to 20 years in and are structured instead of, you know, And
when you go to the Cellar, if you don't know anybody, I remember visiting when I was 4 years in a comedy, I didn't know any of the comics. Norton was like, hey, I'll get you downstairs. You just tell, like, oh, this guy's a pro. This guy's new.
This guy's
a pro. And it might be both white men, but it's just like, just
doesn't, yeah.
Experience.
Yeah,
it's worth something.
When I was coming up in New York, when you got the Comedy Central half hour, you were doing it 15 years.
That was there.
So it was Geraldo, Rest of Soul, Tom Papa, all these guys that were doing it. You're like, oh, dude, they worked 15 years. Now they have a half hour. Now it's like when you see somebody like 7 years
Five
in
years,
and they're doing
years.
Like their second. I remember one guy was like, yeah, I'm doing my third album. And I go, how long have you been doing comedy? He goes, 7 years. It's like third. I was like, you don't want that out.
That. Yeah.
My first hour I ever put out was Night at the Stand. It came out when I was 14 years in.
It's like, just headline a room. Like, you know what I mean? Don't be on record.
Yeah, yeah. But no, man, I was happy. And the nice thing is-
That's great.
Netflix,
Nocturnal Admissions.
Yeah.
And Netflix what? What was the nice thing?
No, Netflix-
They give you free Netflix?
No, they didn't give me free. I was like, can my family get a code?
When my Netflix special came, I was like, I was still stealing Big J's- account. He didn't know, but like I couldn't even. He was like, "Oh, you're trending on my thing." I'm like, "No,
well, you're
I
special. You're special. Jew's crushing it.
Jew's doing quite well."
And it's nice when you see the numbers and things are doing well. But the nice thing was Netflix at first was like, "Hey, man, it's after pandemic. There's a lot of stuff." And then they saw it and they were like, "Oh, we want it." And I was like, "Okay."
Great.
Like that made me go,
that's
"Okay."
Great.
You know, because at first you're like, "Oh, I guess it's not going." Like,
and they definitely didn't come to you because you're famous.
No.
You know, they weren't like, well, if you have a TV show. Be fake. Like, we love your son. I'm like, that guy's been doing stand-up for a year. You don't love him.
Right. Like, that's the thing. It's like when they want something and you don't have a TV show, you're not on, you know, SNL, you're not on a sketch, you're not doing something, and they're just like, they like the hour, you're like, great.
Yeah.
You're not
Rob Gronkowski, literally doing what, Showtime or something? You're like Rob Gronkowski and friends doing stand-up?
Yeah, no, dude.
And it's like, oh, really? You think Rob Gronkowski's a great comic?
Yeah, it's like, and these, you know, these TikTok YouTube people are selling out rooms.
Yeah, but it's nice when they're like, you're not that. You're fine. You're doing fine.
Right.
But like, you're not like, we have to be in business with Paul Verzey.
Right.
They're like, oh, we want the special.
Right, right.
It's a good special.
If it's quality and they like it, that means more.
Yeah.
You know, that means more, so.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
And when does this come out?
Hey, let's take a quick break for commercial. Okay. Come right back. Well, when it comes out, what do you want to do? Say some dates?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll put it out on two Tuesdays, before February 4th, before your Gotham gigs.
Okay.
I think I have one she's already working on for this week. I could put it out this week if you want it out this week.
No, could we? I'm in Toronto at a theater that seats 400 on the 28th.
Ooh.
Well, 360.
Today's
the 5th.
Today's the 5th.
Yeah.
And she's on the 28th?
Yeah.
Today's the 5th, but it's Friday. So we're talking about 7th. Yeah, sure. It'll be up before that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Which theater in Toronto?
I'm doing the Royal Theater. It's like a
nice.
Yeah, Royal Theater, Toronto. It's I'll be there January 28th, and then I'll be at Gotham on the 2nd and 3rd of February.
Those are two big gigs.
Yep, and
the Royal Theater in Toronto on January 28th, and Gotham on February 2nd and 3rd.
Yep, and if you're in Pittsburgh, I'll be there Valentine's Day one night at the Improv. So bring a date.
Pittsburgh
Improv on Valentine's Day.
That's great.
I'll
be there right before you.
That's good. Great room, dude. And the DVR guys are great.
Oh, really? What's your website?
PaulVerzey.com. All the dates.
They'll be there.
Yeah.
My big dates are the Moore Theater in Seattle on February 23rd.
A great one.
The Beacon Theater.
Oh!
First time. March 24th. Tickets are now finally available. They're waiting and waiting, and they're finally up, everybody. Beacon Theater, March 24th. It's going to be a party. And then I guess I just should be up by now. I got the UK the last weekend of April, straight into all over Europe. I'm doing Athens, Greece for the first time, doing Romania, two gigs in Romania. I'm doing Stockholm. Where else have I got? Ljubljana in Slovenia. I'm doing he's like, this is less money. Like, why don't you just do like Copenhagen and like the big ones? And I'm like, nah.
That's cool, man.
I'm just doing Glasgow, London, and Manchester in the UK. And then I'm just like, I'm going to weird spots.
That's awesome.
And Berlin, my favorite city in the world. All right, let's take a quick break for a commercial and we'll come right back.
People of New York, there is a new show, and it is the greatest new show in town. It is Luis Gomez's Spit Roast. It has no correlation whatsoever to Jeff Ross's roast battle. This is much different. It's two comics battling each other in a roast battle. Yep, that's right. No relation at all to the roast battle, but it is a great show. Two comics, and they talk about current events and roast them. And then we choose a winner. We have an all-black wave. No, we don't have that yet. But legitimately, it's a great show. It's fun as hell, and it is a natural progression of these roasts. The natural progression of these roasts. And Luis Gomez, of all people, no middle name, has taken us there to the next progression of roast shows. Luis Gomez's Spit Roast. Check it out now. It's at the Stand. I don't know how often. God damn, I'm good at this. And you want to see it. Luis Gomez's Spit Roast. Great judges. Great comics all roasting each other. Find out when it is. Go to the Stand website and see for yourself. The best new show in New York is by, I'm as surprised as you are, Luis Gomez. Check it out. Hi, everybody. Today's episode of Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank Podcast is brought to you by YoKratom.com. Drugs. Yeah, Ari Shaffir likes drugs. And Kratom is a fun one. It'll get you fucked up. If you don't do Kratom, don't worry about it. If you do Kratom, YoKratom.com is your guy. Also, I've met the owners, and they're all fucking cool, and they're comedy fans. Wow. I'm skipping good rocks. They're home of the $60 kilo. $60 for 1 kilo of the finest Kratom known to man. It will not cure any other diseases. If you take this when you have the flu, it won't help you. If you take it when you have leprosy, it won't help you. AIDS, kratom's not going to help. Boredom, it will help. Kratom, everybody, it's drugs. And our good friends at YoKratom.com are offering $60 for an entire kilo. No promo code. Just go down there, get it. YoKratom.com. Thanks, guys. Thanks for supporting my podcast. Thanks for being at Big J's special taping. And now, let's get back to the episode.
Dude, I'll pay for it. It's such a fucking Guido thing.
Oh, dude.
It's such a Guido thing to be like, let me get more. I got Dice used to sell his outfit from that show. And he goes, I'll sell it for like, either he did a bid for it or he's like $1,000. And he goes, who would buy it? He goes, some Guido will try to prove that they're rich.
Oh, that's funny.
And buy a sweaty fucking sweatshirt that I just finished wearing.
Yeah, see, that's where I don't, that's, I'll buy my friends a nice dinner, but yeah. I wouldn't do that.
You're like Guido adjacent.
Yeah. Yeah, like
you're
I'm
like dabbling greed.
Yeah, yeah, and I think the half Greek offsets.
I keep yeah, saying
because my mother is 100% Greek.
Oh, but really?
So, yeah, yeah. I'm half. I'm literally like I get a text message every 3 months.
What's your
from
really
from Giannis. My mother's maiden name is Karavitis, which is Greek.
Okay.
And but mom. People, you know, Verzi, Sicilian, you know, and but. No, like I like white leather in the car. Like there are certain things, yeah. Like when I listen to a song and they were like, that's definitely like a Guido techie song. I'm like, yeah, like it's not fully my thing, but I get it.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, I'm close.
I know a friend, my friend Colette, she says she dabbles in basic. Real smart, real professional, but if all her friends are like, let's get matcha latte, she's like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, yeah, yes. You know? That whole rosé all day shit. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah,
she's
yeah.
Like, okay, she dabbles in it. You dabble in Guido.
I definitely dabble in Guido. I like those things. I like, not big jewelry though. Yeah. Not huge jewelry. Like a nice watch, like one chain. I don't go big though.
What do you do? First of all.
Yeah, is that?
Who's just banging? Okay, it's done. Yeah. What the fuck was that?
I love New York City.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes when I was recording podcasts in other places, like I can hear a siren go by. Like, yeah. Probably a siren went by.
You're lucky.
That's
yeah.
probably a good sign that a siren went by.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, what's he doing?
Yeah, I don't even know. That's got to be construction, right?
Oh, yeah, it's up there. It's these guys banging out. If I can see it.
Oh, okay.
Construction on that roof for so fucking long.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see them.
I thought they'd be done before the winter, but they're like, nah, let's just keep it going.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah,
though.
So what? Okay, so let's talk. Let's talk about what makes a Guido for a second. It's
okay.
The chains is definitely something.
Okay, so here's two good people on the scale.
Okay,
I would say myself and Brett Ernst.
Ernst is definitely he might be the first Guido I've ever met.
Brett Ernst has a cologne dealer. Now, dude, I swear to God, Ari, I was on the phone. Because me and Brett got friendly probably the past 3 years.
Okay.
We met in Vegas. He did a betting show in Vegas from Mandalay Bay. We've done shows together. Brett and I become friends.
Okay.
To the point where like more than like in passing friends, like somebody I'll call, you know what I mean? There's yeah, like, we have a handful and he's, you know.
Me and Brett, just so for context,
yeah.
are like first year in comedy friends. Like we'll go back to the point where it's like, even if I don't talk to him for 4 years,
yes.
it's like, hey man, how you doing? Let's get a drink.
Well, every time we talk and your name comes up, it's always with affection. It's always like that. It's like, you know what I mean? It's just because there's like a brotherhood. Like people don't realize how small our community is. Very small.
Yeah.
Like, but
Brett comes from the time, and this might be Guido also, I'm not sure, but like if, let's say I hate you because you fucked my girlfriend.
Right.
You know, a year ago.
Yeah.
And we've never worked it out. And then some audience member gets in your face like, you fucking say that. I'm just going to punch that guy. And then later, wow. you'll have thanks. I go, yeah, still go fuck yourself forever.
Right.
But we're comics first.
That's and the comedy community, the real ones,
yeah.
will surround you when you need it.
Yeah.
So I called Brett, and I'm on the phone with him, and I talked about this. I said on stage once, I got a friend who got a cologne dealer. He just goes like this. Dude, he goes, Verzi, I got to call you back. Dude, I see headlights. I'm in a parking lot. I swear to God. And I was like, dude, what are you getting? Like, are you getting drugs? He goes, no, dude, Acqua Di Gio. He goes, you know, Acqua Di Gio just got the new black, you know, and I'm going like, dude, he goes, dude, two squirts of this shit. It's a fucking unbelievable. And I go, you have a, he goes, oh, I meet the guy all the time. He's Saudi Arabian. Dude, he meets this guy, this Middle Eastern guy, and they literally takes out boxes and he gets like, like a he's got like an underground cologne. Like he's on a level where it's like he's like, oh, see, I'm a little bit like black t-shirt with a chain.
I wouldn't even wear cologne.
Yeah, he's like,
since like early high school, I thought that's what it meant to be a man.
You know, it's funny. My son, who's, dude, my son is Scandinavian. Like, my son is blue-eyed, because of my wife.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
she's got dark hair, doesn't she?
Yeah, my, but look, that's my son, see? Light hair.
Are you feeling his tits?
Light eyes. No. He's got, light, see, he's his mother.
Yeah.
And Sophia, my daughter, is more me, right? So, actually, I probably shouldn't put that on camera.
A blurt.
But yeah.
Let's make sure.
Yeah, could you do that?
Yeah, okay. Hey, by the way, just so you know, anything you say that you're like, oh, I shouldn't have said
no,
that.
I appreciate it. Yeah. But like, so my son has, because my wife is like Swedish and Finnish and shit, right?
Yeah.
And, but my son has a little bit of a thing because like Brett sent me and Giannis a bottle of cologne.
Really?
In the mail. So like a package showed up, right?
Yeah.
A package shows up and I'm going, what the fuck is this? And it was a box from Amazon. And it says, like, I don't know where it's from or what it is. And it was fucking Brett Ernst sending me and Giannis this special cologne that his dealer gives him. And my son Lucas smelt it. And he goes, that's kind of good. Can I borrow a squirt of that?
No.
Yeah. So I think that it's adjacent. It's in there.
Yeah.
It's in there. But it's not full-fledged because it got watered down.
Right.
You know?
What else makes a Guido? It's the overly spending.
It's the overly spending. It's the...
Workouts?
Big.
Guido's workout.
Every time I talk to Brett, he's either at the gym or, yeah.
You know what he used to do? And I mean, let's not turn it into a complete fuck Brett Ernst, but he will be our example for sure. He would do push-ups before like the beach so he could look more swole. He would just quickly do 10 push-ups so that he'd be like, you know, so your muscles are kind of throbbing.
Yes, I would
and
say.
And he would do that at the store too. In summer when he was wearing a tank top, hilarious. He was like, let me quickly, he'd get out of his car, do 20 push-ups. Like, hi guys, how you doing?
Oh, dude, that's so, he said this funny thing. He goes, I was the guy with the vest with nothing under the vest. So it would just be a vest. And, but I agree with you, Ari. I think it's gym. It's gym, cologne, and jewelry are three big ones.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's.
Gym, cologne, jewelry.
Gym, cologne, jewelry, and...
Spending, I think.
Spending, yep.
Hold on, I'm marking down the blurring the
thing. Oh, thank you, bud.
Smart, you don't put your kid on.
Yeah, 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 it's no. It's crazy when people no, do it. And I've, like, I...
First of all, they didn't get permission. And also, are you aware of the world?
Yeah.
Whoa, are you nuts?
No, no, you can't. You absolutely can't. I appreciate that. No, it's crazy. But, yeah, spending, gym, like, and it's always like, I'm not like this, and this is the part that I don't have. A Guido will fight real quick.
They fight. Absolutely. They almost want to.
What the fuck did he say?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No. He knows what the fuck. It's like a respect thing.
Yeah, and sometimes the other side of that argument is like, no, dude, I didn't even.
No, he didn't even mean that.
I know what you meant.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, the guy's trying to get out of it.
Yeah, like that whole, like, what do you fuck? You? What am I weak? What am I a fuck? You fuck? And it's like, no, dude, you just want
a clown
this.
To you?
You just, yeah. It's kind of like that. There is like a mafia mentality.
Yeah, that's another thing though.
There's like a mafia mentality where, you know, like the Guido that invaded me, like inside of a car, I like to be a certain way, things like that. But I don't have the, yo, fuck this kid. Let's take this kid out. I don't have that.
Yeah. That's the other thing is they all try to half pretend like they're in the mafia, even though they have no ties to the mafia. They don't do anything illegal
right.
in any way, but they're all like, no, I know people. And like, but you don't. You don't know anybody.
No. There's and the guys that really do won't really say
quiet.
It. They won't say it.
I saw at Mr. Pete's, I think it closed now, this place on Fairfax in LA. I saw one of these Guidos.
Yeah.
And he's trying to, I don't know what happened with me and Bobby Lee eating there. I don't know what happened behind the counter at this pizza place. He slaps the top, that metal frame, and he goes, you want me to come back there? I'll come back there. And it's like, what are you talking about? Right, a real mafioso would be like, hey, let's leave. And then he's like, hey, let's wait outside for him.
Yeah.
Let's kick his fucking ass when there's no one around.
We're going to find out where his car is. Shot? Right. We're going to find out which his car. We're going to be quiet about it. You don't go like that whole like loud.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know who I am?
You know who I am.
You know who I am? It's like.
Then you don't. They don't. It's so embarrassing. It's so embarrassing. You know who I am. It's like, no.
Yeah. It's so ridiculous.
You know who's the best at that? At playing it cool? Charles Oakley. Not a Guido. But when they were fighting, they separated. He goes, hey, I'll meet you outside afterwards. That there's so many players who are like, what? He goes, yeah, they'll break us up. I'll meet you outside afterwards. Well, in the parking lot, as soon as you're dressed.
Wait, are you a Knicks fan?
No, but I'm a fan of that.
Oh, okay.
I'm
a fan of real. Because I know me and you both Yankee fans, but dude.
I'm a Pels fan.
I got a great, I got who?
Pelicans.
Oh, you're a Pelicans fan?
Yeah.
I got a Charles Oakley story for you.
Okay.
I'm at the Garden a few years back. This is right before they fucking dragged him out, right?
For the female listeners, it's not his backyard. The Garden is a famous arena
yes.
where the Knicks and the Rangers play.
So
and
I'm
Billy
at,
Joel.
I'm at the Garden, and he's like literally like right there, and he's in this. I actually have the picture I could send you. And he's like right there in like a maroon burgundy
How'd you
suit.
Get seats next to Oakley?
It was
an agent or something?
Somebody was like, hey, I got something for you. He's like nine rows back.
Every once in a while, we get access to stuff we shouldn't get access to.
Oh, dude. The know? Best is like when like, if like, yeah, like William Morris or like somebody will go, hey, man, you want this? Or like there's just a hookup through a comedy venue and they're like, hey, do you want to go to the game? And you're like, yes, I do.
I took my nephew for his bar mitzvah, both of them, but I took the first one to the second one, expected it. And we go to Madison Square for Rangers and we pass by that front entrance. He goes, where are you going? The entrance. And you go to that Penn entrance.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes, where are we going? I'm like, no, different entrance. And he's like, wait, what? Yeah, and yeah. then we go down instead of up. And he's like, wait, what?
I got to perform there twice, and I've Whoa. Talked about it. I talked about it before. I actually talked about it on Rogan. The second one, the first one I hosted, it was the first one I like hosted, and then it was DeRosa and Bill. The second one I like featured, and it was in the round in front of 18,000. It was a set of my life. And walking in there, and I remember looking up at the Patrick Ewing's thing and all that
wow.
stuff. But so I'm at this game, and Oakley is like right, and someone's like, yo, dude, Oakley's like right there. He's actually to my right, and I see he's got this burgundy suit, his hair's all gray, and I'm going, oh shit, dude, I'm standing outside. I was with Steve Mazzilli from Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm standing outside. He's such a great guy. You want to talk about people that don't fuck you in the business? That's
Steve
one of them.
Steve Mazzilli. Yep.
Him and his yep. brother just buy the book, every seat. Shout out to them. Shout out to Gotham. I'll be there February 2nd and 3rd. Anyway.
February 2nd and 3rd. Dude, go see Burrs.
Charles Oakley, after the game, is on the sidewalk right there, Ari. Like where I'm sitting at your wall. He's standing right there. And Steve goes, dude, there's Oakley just standing by himself. Taxis are going by.
What?
He goes, I got to say, dude, Steve goes, Charles. Dude, my buddy Paul, big fan. And he just looks, he goes, oh, yeah? I go, yeah, man. I go, you got some car washes in White Plains, don't you? I swear to God, this happened. And he goes, ask Steve. And he goes, yeah. I go, where exactly are they? He goes, come on, man. You just said you knew where they were. I go, no, I know they're in White Plains. Where? And he's like, and I swear to God, he just goes, hey, dude, man, can you give me a ride? You got a car? I swear to God. Ask Steve. And I go, I couldn't. I go, my car was all the way two blocks in a parking garage. So, like, Charles Oakley's not going to walk with me and see who he just met. Like, he was basically saying, dude, if your car's on the street right here, can you take me? I'm going with you 100%. Because we talked about the connection to Westchester. He knows that I'm a Knicks fan. I think I said some things that let him know that, like, this guy is not just
he seems cool.
You're like, this guy seems cool. Plus, he's, you know, and he just goes, dude, can you give me a ride? And Steve and I just look. I go, dude, it's in the garage. I can't. And he's like, oh, man, it's all good. Dude, I swear to God, I got the picture. And I'm like, if my car would have been sitting across the street, I would have had fucking Oak Tree in my car, and then I would have been like, dude, if he got in the car, then I would have been like, dude, I'm giving you a ride. I gotta just talk to you about when you grabbed Barkley by the throat and threw him down with one arm.
Oh my God.
I mean, that was the great, but you're right about that. Oakley did
he
this.
Had retard strength.
He was
like a retard fucked a grandmother, you know what I mean? And it's just like this strength. He was big, but he wasn't as big as his strength.
And he was just a big presence, dude. I remember seeing him and Mason walking next to each other in practice.
Yeah.
When I was real young, when Riley coached. And believe it or not, even though Mason, rest his soul, he was cut more, Oakley was just a bigger man. Charles Oakley's
Mason died? Big, Grandmama died?
No, you're thinking of Larry. You're thinking of, what's it called? You're thinking of Grandmama. Oh my God.
Oh, Larry Johnson.
You're thinking of Larry Johnson. No,
Mason,
no.
Mason
Anthony
died.
Mason.
He played for the Pels or the Hornets.
Anthony Mason played for the Hornets, and he also
was a point forward.
And he was a big dude for the Knicks, but he was one of our like big guys down low. Yeah, he died.
What?
He was a New York City street legend. So he was a West 4th Cage legend. He was like one of these guys.
He played there by the side?
Oh, dude, he played outside and all these things. He was a legend. And then I think his son played. I think he had a heart condition and he passed away. But I remember seeing him and Oakley walking next to each other. And even though Mason was ripped more, Oakley was bigger, dude. Oakley just looked like a guy you're like, and like you said, he had that quiet, I'll kill you.
Yeah.
Like you said, like, hey, dude, if you want to do this, we can. And you're just like, oh, like, this is real.
You're too calm. Like, you're too calm.
Yeah.
You should be hyper for a fight, and you're too calm.
If
this
you
is
see
trouble.
Somebody calm for a fight, that's a good point. Like, if you see somebody, like, not breathing heavy, and they're actually talking like we're talking now, you're fucked.
Remember Krokop? yeah. fighter from Croatia.
Yeah.
And everybody else, you know, they're like in this corner and they'd be like this, like trying to stare the guy down like that. And Krokop with his Croatian checkered shorts, he would just be in the side. You know, just like waiting for the bus, just like waiting. And it's like, yeah. I'll kill you now.
Yeah. Like those guys that are like, I'll kill you. You're like, yeah, that guy's.
Yeah, you will. That's- yeah.
Yeah.
What else makes a Guido? This is fun, actually.
I mean, we definitely.
Because also there's another type of Guido, the Sebastian Guido, which is like super well-dressed.
Yes.
Never fights.
Yes.
Almost like, what's that play on Broadway with the fucking.
Jersey Boys?
Jersey Boy. That's that kind of Guido.
Yeah, there's a Guido that's like proper and all about like, it's all about like do the right thing. Like what, you know, that whole thing, yeah. like, you know, you're not going to eat chicken in the thing, in the, you know.
What?
You know his joke?
Who, Sebastian?
Yeah. Oh, dude, he goes,
which one is
he
that?
Goes,
he kills me
he
every
goes,
time.
I'm in a casino. He goes, and there's a guy. He's like, I'm
just
in.
Just like Cadence alone.
He goes,
he kills
I'm in Vegas. And he goes, and there's a guy with the George Foreman grill. He goes, are you going to cook chicken in your hotel room? You know? And it's like, but it's that shit. Like Sebastian will be like, when you go into the car. And
you don't
this
do
is,
it. That's not the way you
goes,
do it. Don't
I
want to
see the vacuum lines on the car mat.
I want to know you did.
You're like,
it,
I want right. to see like you, and that see
that
that's
border
where,
is Jewish,
and that's where I get it come in.
Okay.
Like now that I, you know, I just got a like I had a Lexus, but I just got the same model, new one, and like now I'm like nobody can. I need it, you know. What? Nobody's putting their feet up like it's in white leather, not like in a snooty way, but it's like I like to keep.
That's right. You get an expensive car too, or a flashy car. That's where you Guido up.
We and the thing is, I'm very big on washes and details of the car.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's so funny because I, when I had my first new car, I leased it in LA, I washed it every 3 years.
Did it have like wrappers all over it? Like
oh,
fast
yeah,
food?
Just, yeah. Dude, I gave Attell a ride from the Laugh Factory to the store. You know LA a little bit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He was like, I've got to the store. I'm like, I'll give you, I'm parked across the street. I was like on the way. So I'm like,
yeah.
He's like, okay. Yeah, if you're going. Gets in my, open the, his door and he goes, he looks in the back seat, covered, you know, and he goes, your road car, huh? And I'm like, no. And he goes, ugh.
Yeah, you're gross. So you're just gross.
There's no reason
you're just
for that.
Fucking
yeah.
gross.
Yeah.
I had a cool, what's a cool ride? You know what I had a cool one? That what? Reminds me. I had a cool one. I was in Atlanta at the Punchline. And Jamie Bendel, the owner, comes up and he goes, this just reminded me of like cool car rides with comics that were like just bigger or legendary that you didn't know. And next thing you know, you're either like in a diner with them or in a car. But George Wallace comes in and they go, hey, they go, George Wallace is here. He wants to do 15 minutes. He knows your headline and do you mind? I goes, no. And he does his 15 minutes. He's a gentleman. He probably does
gets
like
15.
Maybe 15, does it 20.
Right.
Does sure. it does it right. Sits in the back at the bar. And just like this, watched my entire hour, and I'm going. And then afterwards, I go, "Hey, you want to come and smoke a cigar with us?" And I was there with
you
Joe.
Said
I
so?
Was there with Joe Bartnick, and he goes,
"Nice move." First of all, nice move.
Yeah,
he was, said. So it's like now
he sat and watched.
And
I go, dude. I go, you watch my whole hour. And he goes,
"You're already in."
And yeah, and he was like, "Yeah." And we're outside discussing how we're going to get to the cigar lounge. And I go, "Hey, George, you want to come with us?" And he goes, "Man, fuck you. I ain't smoking no cigar." He goes, "I'll drive you though." And dude, we get in the car and he's driving us down the street and he's just telling us stories. And he told us a story about Seinfeld. And he goes, you know what? Even though he's my best friend, I only did his show once, which is what friends, like it should be like that. Like you don't like just always have, you know, oh, you got Seinfeld and I'm your best friend. It's like, put, you know what I mean? It's like, right. You don't do that, right?
Do me the favor.
Yeah, it's like, that's it. So he was just saying, he goes, here's a great story that George Wallace told me and Bartnick in the car as he's driving. He goes, I'm at the Flamingo doing my residency, 10-year anniversary. I'm on stage, and Seinfeld's there and comes out. And he goes, and Seinfeld gets on stage. The place goes nuts, and Seinfeld gets on the mic and goes, what are you doing this for? You've been doing this 10, it's over. Just what was, you got to stop doing it. He goes, and that was the last show I ever did.
What?
He says, Seinfeld just goes, George, it's over. You did it for 10 years. It's the last show. Just what are you doing? And he goes, and after that, I just didn't do it. I didn't.
What?
Like, he just got on stage. He goes, it's over. What are you doing this for?
That's
how
so
fucking
funny.
Great is that?
That's so
but that's
funny.
Almost like a friend where it's like, all right, dude, 10 years. You made some money. You were in Vegas. Like, what are you going to do?
Still doing this. What,
and you could picture Seinfeld going,
yeah.
What are you doing here? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That reminds me of Sebastian and Seinfeld. I don't know. I mean, that's just a story I heard. Seinfeld's like, fuck the Comedy Store. I'll never go there. And they're driving, you know, doing something. Maybe they didn't even have cars and comedians, whatever, with coffee. And Sebastian's like, no, it's a good place. It's a good club. He goes, no, fuck that place. He goes, oh, no, dude, you got to go. And he's like, really? He goes, yeah. And so then he's like, okay.
Wait, Seinfeld said you got to go?
No, Sebastian said that to Seinfeld.
Oh.
Seinfeld had like I heard like an old thing with Mitzi was like, nah, I'm not, I don't see it.
Oh, so he was, Seinfeld was holding a little bit of a grudge, like, fuck that place.
But for like 30 years, like, what's the grudge? It's a hot place now, dude. Come on, just come. It's crazy.
Yeah, like, it's all, like, what are you?
Yeah, David Spade's there. Everybody's there. What are you doing?
We have this weird thing, comics, where I remember
we'll hold a grudge on a building.
Dude,
like, everybody who wronged you is gone and dead.
Yeah.
And you're still like, no, these,
like,
walls.
Fuck that guy, the way that you, and it's almost like, yeah, if you kind of came across them now, maybe they would realize that they were.
Yeah, or you know what, something Robbie did was really good when he was at Montreal?
Mm-hmm.
He would call people and say, sorry, I missed the boat on you.
Yeah.
He'd be like, hey, clearly, when you auditioned for News Faces, we didn't see it. Clearly, we were wrong. My bad. And then if most of the industry does not do that, and you just hold this grudge, and then you just, if you just said, my bad, I get it now, you'd be like, all right.
Dude, it's so funny you said that. Robbie Prawl, I will always have a place for that dude, because, and it has nothing to do with the Netflix thing, but what he did is, when I auditioned, Kurt Metzger was hosting, I auditioned, and it was the third year, and they said at the audition, like, because 10 of us went on, and I went last, and they go, Verzi had one of the toughest spots, and you guys are complaining, and he fucking killed and did this, and then I go to my managers, and they go, dude, they were like, Robbie says it's embarrassing that they can't put you in because you deserve it and you did it. And he goes, but you'll be at JFL, like Toronto down and Chicago road. And all that stuff. You'll be there down the road. And it was like the greatest no you could ever hear. And then all of a sudden, like 2 weeks later, Robbie goes, no, it's not right. He goes, it's not right.
No. You're missing. Go ahead.
Well, he goes, from what I heard, he belongs here. We're not, you know what? If we can't get him on New Faces, he belongs at the festival. But what did you hear?
I was next to him when you opened for Burr in Austin.
Okay, I'm forgetting that part. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he saw you crushing in a theater, and he was like, "What? Who is?" Like, okay. I don't remember if he said, "Who is this?"
Right.
But I could see him turn. I'm like, "Oh, this guy's a legitimate headliner."
Oh, okay. I remember you telling me that, which I appreciate. Yeah. But you know what? Like, it's so much better when somebody does that, where they're like, "Hey, dude, I either dropped the ball, or like, I didn't know until you showed." Because
no one ever apologizes in life.
No.
Hey, my bad on that. I was way wrong.
Dude,
sorry.
I was you know,
no one does it.
No.
And it goes so far. Just an unasked for, hey, I was wrong. I'm sorry. And they're like, I don't remember that. It was, well, I do, and I'm sorry. It's like, it goes so far.
You did something one time for me that you didn't even know you did, and I was like, man, you know something? Well, I always knew you were. I'm one thing that I have is, and I've always known this, and you could ask anybody. Actually, Burr said, he goes, the two best I've ever seen read people is Verzi and Kelly, Bobby Kelly. I could read somebody, and I know if somebody's a good, I'm swear to God, like my mom, I could know somebody's a good person. And I knew you were a good dude, but you were,
fuck that guy, Ari.
You did something where we were at the stand, and I was talking about the WNBA, and you walked in and you listened to the bit, and the way you just kind of nodded your head, like, you just did it in a way that was like, oh shit, I get, that's good, I got that joke. Like, it was a cool thing. It's a camaraderie thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, going back to Montreal, Colin Quinn said something really dope. He did like this. He didn't do, what's the thing that
keynote.
Yeah, but yeah, not the other guy. Not
Andy Kindler.
Not Andy Kindler.
He did the keynote address. One of the best ones ever.
And his, this is what
Kindler did, the state of the industry.
Oh yeah, Kindler does a state of the industry. A keynote was Colin. You were at that one, right?
It was one of the greatest things of all time.
And one of the best things that Colin said, he goes, and all you dummies in the industry, he said this, and I was like, it was so perfect. He goes, all you dummies in the industry, he goes, you can't look at a guy once.
Yeah, what, okay? Are you crazy?
And then all of a sudden you take that set, and that's burned in your brain.
A pressure set when they're 4 years in, when they're feeling, oh shit, they're all here, this is my, and you're like, I saw him 20 years ago, he sucks.
You goes, you can't look at somebody once and do that. And he goes, you have to see somebody. And it was like, I remember, industry was like that. I remember when I first started.
At the clubs, you're like, oh, I've seen that guy a bunch. That's a funny guy.
Yeah, yeah, no.
After a while, you know who the funny people are.
It's yes, and it takes time. And I remember I would do Stand Up New York when I first came to New York, and the booker goes, and this is when I knew, the booker said three things. Yeah, he goes, Paul's funny, but talking about sports a lot. Olympics were going on, right? Yeah. He talks about sports a lot. Then, fast forward. Yeah, Paul's funny, but like, he's talking about like having a kid. I just had a daughter.
Yeah.
And then it was like, yeah, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh no, this person's evolving.
Right.
Like, I'm evolving, and it's like industry is so, either whether they want to put their friends on, it's so short-sighted.
Yeah, and they're trying to analyze. It's like what we were saying outside about how people weigh in publicly and they feel like they have to weigh in.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, dude, if you don't have an opinion, that's okay.
Right.
You don't have to like, well, I think he does this too. It's like, you're not on camera. You can just be like, I don't know, I'm 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
You don't have to weigh in and say specifically what. You either liked it or you don't, or didn't get the crowd today.
Yeah, or like you don't have to go, like you don't have to put somebody in a box and say like that's what they do.
There's the best parts of that Colin Quinn keynote address, the ones that really stick with me. He goes, industry, for everybody out there, I'm sorry this is inside baseball, but like whatever, it's fun. Industry means like Netflix, Comedy Central, agents, managers,
bookers, yeah, owners of clubs,
everybody,
all that.
Not comics.
Yep.
And writers. He goes, industry, if you were right half the time, maybe we would listen to you.
Wow, I remember that.
But you're right around never. So maybe just get the fuck out of our way and yeah, stop giving us notes that are almost never correct.
It's so true.
Because it just half the time would still be a terrible record. And then he goes, and comics. Because like, nobody goes at the comic. He goes, quit being cheap. If you're as an opener, fucking get them lunch.
Yeah.
Like, don't be cheap, you motherfuckers.
Yeah, yeah. That's part of it. You got to take care of your opener.
Yeah.
You know, you got to take care. But dude, what about this? I got one. I got one. Tell me what you think about this.
Okay.
This is a hypothetical, but tell me what you think. Because you got an opener.
Yeah.
You take the same person on the road a lot.
Okay.
There's probably usually a recycle, like three or four of them, right?
Okay.
People you take. And you're just always taking them to lunch. You're always taking them to dinner. You're always buy. At what point do you go, hey, dude, like.
Get me something.
Like, dude, I had a situation. Like, it's like a water.
That's where it should be. So I went with, and you probably have too, went with a very wealthy person and opened for them, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, I actually can't afford this steak for us. But, you know what I mean? You know, it's like, so I'm letting you pay for it. But it's like, hey, I'm downstairs in the lobby. Like, before you get down, do you want anything from Starbucks? Let me get this $4 thing for you because you bought me a $100 steak yesterday.
Right.
So, and then it's like, oh, thanks, man. When you give him the coffee, he's not like, let me give you the $4. It's like, it's known, like, now we're kind of even.
Because it's just
the
gesture.
Get me a water.
Right.
Exactly.
It's like the gesture because you're like, oh, dude, you just spent $600 at a steakhouse.
Yeah.
I can bring you a nice coffee and stuff. It's my pleasure to do that. When it's the taking advantage of things.
I got something for Rogan before I started opening for him, but he would always treat us to the standard late night after the store. It was like this upscale diner. Probably $30 meals.
Okay,
you know?
Yes.
But couldn't afford it, you know? And he was always like, I got seven of you. Let's all go out, me and Eleanor and whoever else.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We're all going to stay. Want to come? It was never like, I've already got my crew. And then one time I went to Carney's, which is just a fucking hot dog place.
Yeah.
And I was like, and he paid for me three times. I was new to LA. I was like, let me get you. He goes, no, you don't have to. I was like, dude, you, what?
Yeah.
You paid for me the last three times.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay. And then we're sitting down. He goes, just so you know, when I pay for you, it's not like a power move. It's just like, this meal you just bought for $15, it's like, that's about a quarter for me. So like,
right.
You know, I have all this money from News Radio. So it's like, it's just like, it means less to me, the money. So I don't mind.
No, it's like anybody.
But you're right. Get me the water. Get me your fucking water.
And I'm like the least from cheap. But I remember, I'm talking about like, you bought this person 19 meals in a row and there's no sign of.
Even thanks.
Like, oh man, yeah, I appreciate it. Okay, cool. And then it's just like, all right, dude, let's go to Chick-fil-A. Right? We just go to Chick-fil-A and be like, hey, dude, I really appreciate you bringing me on the road here. This Chick-fil-A is on me. It's not even about the Chick-fil-A money. I got the Chick-fil-A. I don't even care about it. But then it's almost like, oh, wait, am I being taken advantage of?
Ren Aziz did this once when we were all in Vegas. He was there, I think, at the Palms, and we were there at UFC.
Yeah.
And like, whatever show. And then we're going to some club.
Yeah.
We're in a limo. They got us a limo. And Steve was like, let me get it. And Rogan was like, no, dude, it's fine. And he goes, Joe, I'm in the fourth year of a sitcom. I would like to pay for once. He goes, all right.
Yeah.
That's on you then. That's all right.
we were talking about that at the airport. I will say this, and it's not a power move and it's not a Guido thing, but I like to pay for meals.
It's a Guido thing.
I love to pay for meals.
It's a Guido
thing.
If
me and you were going to go get a steak
after
this.
Not a power move, it's a Guido thing.
If me and you were going to get a steak dinner after this podcast, I would 100% be like, dude, let's get a bottle of wine, a steak, and I'd love to pay for it. But it's just how when we go to Chicago, I have a thing. When I go to Chicago with my boys, I buy a steak dinner for them. And it's just a thing.
Wow.
And listen, but not like a brag. It's just but people that are like really, like I remember saying to one comic, I go, yeah, I paid for a $500 dinner for us. And he was just like, why would you do, like, and I'm going like, I don't know, because I made like some money this weekend and my friends are, you know, like.
It's an Italian thing is to, it's so anti what I was, where it's like, if you came into $1,000, there should be $999 more dollars in your bank account tomorrow.
Right.
And Italians like, I can't even do $1,000. I'm going to put $100 away and we're living large tonight.
Well, yeah, like with me, it's like when I get the $1,000, I would probably like in my mind, like three or four is gone.
It's already gone.
Like three or four. It's like fun tax. Like I can't do it less than half, so I'll keep six. But like, you know, yeah. No, but it's stupid. It's actually stupid to do that. But yeah.
It's stupid.
Yeah.
That's no, exactly right.
My wife would say, thank you, Ari. It's, yeah. Like, but here's the thing. I'll definitely spend on first class and do you really? Will you go first class or not?
No.
Will you go extra?
Comfort plus.
You go comfort plus. Me too. I go comfort plus 90% of the time.
But also, I just started doing comfort plus because I can handle it. Because I've lived in the dingiest possible shitty chicken buses in Guatemala. Like, I'm used to non-luxury. So it doesn't bother me to like be whatever. But when Rogan flies me out first, it's like, oh, I'll take it.
Yeah,
it is nicer.
Let me ask you a question. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Because you do something that's very fucking weird to me. And not weird, but you're a type of guy.
Actually, everybody does that, dude.
You'll go to Guatemala.
Yeah.
You'll go to a fucking third world. Like, I've never seen a guy want to be alone for five.
You got to take steps to be alone.
Like, that's the thing.
You can't go to Westchester.
Like,
you got to be alone.
Like, you'll go, not only will you go to like a third world island or whatever, you'll go alone for weeks.
Yeah.
Is that like a mental reset thing for you?
I think so. I was talking about it with somebody and it was like, why do you want to be alone so much? And my mom's like, I can't get in touch with you. I was like, no. But then afterwards, they were like, I get it. You're around people so much and you're constantly talking to agents and managers and your friends and audience members. And it's not just like, oh, I need a nice night for Netflix and chill. It's like, it's so much connection all the time that I got to go way the other way.
I think that's why I live in the country. And when I pull up into my house and there's deer, and I see the stars and I'm 800 feet elevated and I got a fire pit. It's like, that's seeing the woods gives me that, because in this job, you got to.
So you get it every night.
I
get it almost never.
I get it. Right. But you just like when you go to those places, are you like, what are you doing?
I went to the city in the north. I was staying in a hostel in Antigua, which is like a touristy town, especially centro of Antigua. And then there's all these shuttles to different areas like Tikal or whatever. You can see some Mayan ruins and the beach and the market town, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I was trying to find a shuttle to this like small town. I heard about this like sauna, this special sauna they only have in this one small town.
Wow.
And I told the guys, like, I'm going to the city. I want to go to this place. Is there a shuttle? He goes, no. But like, and this is the guy who ran the hostel. He's Guatemalan. He's like, you're going there? You're going to Todos? Like, that's, nobody goes there. So even when I'm in Guatemala, I'm like, I want to go deeper away.
Yeah.
And then I'm there and I'm literally the only white person, not just like one of a few. I mean, the only white guy for 3 days. There's no one over 5'4". It's the shortest country I've ever been to. And it's just, they're all kind of looking at me like, where are you from? And I'm like, yes. And they're like, France? I'm like, no. They're like, Netherlands? I'm like, no, what? They don't even know accents. It was so fucking cool. And then I was like, I got my sauna, that thing. And I was like, I should get out of here. I'm like, actually, let me just stay.
Was the sauna nice?
Yeah, dingy, but nice. It's just weird. It's like, it's called a chuch. And it's a bunch of coals and like fire above some volcanic lava rocks, and then you heat up some water on that.
Throw the water on it.
And the water, hot water, cold water, mix those, fully shower and bathe in there, and then you can sprinkle some water for steam. A lot of smoke inhalation.
Jeez.
I mean, it's dingy, but they all have them in their backyard.
Is it safe? No, like, I mean, you're traveling alone in these countries, like, without communication. It can't be the safest.
Let me tell you, I'll quote Henry Rollins. He's a great traveler. he travels all the time, takes pictures, writes books about it. Because I've almost been killed 5 times. And every one of those times was in the United States of America.
Wow.
You know, there's safety issues here or there. But
I guess there's safety issues everywhere.
What are we talking about? There's no drunk drivers here, you know?
Right.
There's no guy that's beat to death 2 blocks from here. Some Asian guy walking home by a fucking crazy homeless dude.
Yeah.
So it's like, what are we talking about?
Yeah, that's true. But that takes a certain person to be able to do that. And I also think there's mental toughness with that. Because I could get on, you know.
But I like the test. I like that it makes me mentally tougher. To be like, shit, my shoes broke. I can't find size 11 and a half shoes here. I got to fix this.
Yeah, dude, it's so funny you said that. That's why, like, you probably get along with guys like Rogan, because when I was on Rogan and towards the end of the podcast, we were talking about drugs and psychedelics, and I just go like, dude, I don't want to take something that makes me question my existence. And he just goes, I like that. He goes, I like to get into an uncomfortable place. And I'm going, fuck is it when you got like getting to
it? What is everything?
I want to see if I could deal. I'm like, dude, I'm having a hard time dealing with a non uncomfortable place.
You're like, I'm on a big podcast. I'm already uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's like. That's the thing. It's like, I guess it is a mental toughness thing, right?
It's so great. And just figure it out. Also, my friends told me this once. There's two things in the world. Stuff that matters when you're on mushrooms and stuff that does not matter when you're on mushrooms. And if you can take that and you're like, I lost that $100 bill. That fell in my pocket. If you were on Boomers, you wouldn't care.
So what doesn't matter on mushrooms?
Losing $100 does not matter.
Money.
On mushrooms.
Money is not.
Your mom dying matters on both on mushrooms and off.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So that's something that actually does matter.
If you went out
losing all your money matters on mushrooms.
Your car getting stolen.
Matters, but also you're like,
you'd be
insurance.
Able to fuck
I got insurance. I'm not gonna deal with this right now.
Oh, okay.
You know?
And what matters?
Like, I don't know, real they 9/11. If you're on mushrooms and 9/11 happened, you're like, this is gonna affect my mood.
Okay. Some wild shit, it really
I was on with Matt Edgar, a bunch of comics. We rented a place in Joshua Tree, and then we're all fucking zoomed out, you know, it was for Shroomfest, and we're all fucking whatever, and somebody came in. I don't know who was on their fucking phone. Robin Williams died. We're like, what?
Oh my god.
On a swing. And like, yeah, he committed suicide. We're like, hey dude. Remind me of this in 2 days. I don't want to deal with it right now.
And you don't even know if it's real or not.
Just like, nah. It's not the time for this.
You just put it on the shelf. Yeah. Wow. Because that's...
Yeah. So fucking sad, dude. But also like, I don't know him.
Yeah, dude. You're the type, dude, you would go into like... You would go to like Alaska for a month alone and just fucking chill, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Be great. What do you mean? That doesn't sound awesome to you?
That sounds awesome to me for a week. But like a month alone, dude, I'd be like...
Let me tell you something. There's a freedom, and you can get it with your wife. After about 12 days of no contact with anybody at home, and I'm saying you can get this with your wife if you both have burner phones with just each other's numbers, the new numbers.
Yeah.
Where now you're not like anchored to your past, to where you came from. Mm-hmm. Like on a week vacation, you're like, well, we came from New York, we're back in New York. Now it's like you're this floating feeling of like unanchored. And from 12 days onwards, however long, it's such a, it's just like everything's lifted from your heart. There's no responsibility. You're like, we're going to go there. And you're like, actually, somebody told me about that place. Like, fuck that place. Let's go to that place.
Right.
And you just like, you can do whatever you want. You're relaxed. You're not like still tense from their New York schedule.
Right.
And if you can do it, and you can do it, what's your podcast called?
The Verzi Effect.
The Verzi Effect.
Yeah.
If you record an episode a day for a week, then you bought yourself a month.
Yeah.
To be free and just go out and do your own thing. Money's still coming in.
Yep.
Put your kid in fucking be a boot camp or something. I don't know. Put him in an insane asylum for a week or something and then just get lost.
Well, they would be psyched. They'd be like, all right, because they're old enough now. But yeah, that's like, I always admired that when they were like, I remember the old
stand. It's scary for the first 10 days and then it's free.
Where did you go when we were at the old stand?
Yeah.
And you came, you were four months out. Where were you?
Southeast Asia. Oh, I don't have the map there.
You were in Southeast Asia. Wow.
Myanmar to Thailand, to Cambodia. Nope. Myanmar, Thailand, Indonesia, Cambodia, Vietnam, East Timor, back to Indonesia.
Yeah, I mean, that takes a different fucking dude to do that, dude.
You start floating. It was so scary at first. Literally, the first day I was in Myanmar and Yangon, I got a hotel the first night just to write myself. I couldn't afford hotels for months, so I was like, got to find hostels, but I can use their Wi-Fi at least and data on their computer. Found a hostel. And then I'm walking around by myself, incredibly lonely, fucking the dopamine withdrawal from not having like, you know, likes coming in, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm like, so I feel like an addict losing his fucking whatever. And I'm like, I'm going home. This is a mistake. I'll just go home. But Duncan was staying in my apartment. I was like, I'll be gone. You can stay here while you're looking for a place.
Yeah.
And if not for the embarrassment of having to call Duncan and be like, hey, you got to find an Airbnb, then I would have just come right home.
Wow.
But then a couple days passed, met somebody, like, oh, I'll take the circle train with you around the city. He's like, okay. And then I'm gone.
Yeah, so but you wanted to feel that uncomfortableness and then go through it, which is crazy.
it's the best.
Dude, I'm getting anxiety thinking
about it. It's the best.
That's wild, man. Yeah, what is that? Like, I remember I was in Cancun. I was in Cancun in like 2001 and we're in a hotel and I just remember being like, dude, something like we're in Mexico and like, you know, it was when, you know, like they're like, don't leave the resort. And you're going like, what the fuck? And part of you was just like, let me get out of here. And then once you settle in, you're like, no, we'll make it work.
Yeah.
You got to say, it takes like that first 24 hours,
yeah,
right?
So I get nervous everywhere I go. I'm like, I've heard it's dangerous. And then you slowly realize like, oh, it's not. When I went to China, do you ever do those China gigs?
No.
Monroe did it. I did it. Sean Patton did it.
I remember those were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Segura and Pete Lee did a version of it, and maybe Chad Daniels too, but they did a shorter one. I think they made a documentary way back. But as soon as they told me in Shanghai that you're in a hotel and they go, just so you know, maybe I was in Suzhou, like a city outside Shanghai. They go, just so you know, this is the safest place in the world. Like drunk women pass out with their wallets out. Nobody touches them. Nobody touches the wallet.
What?
It's so beyond safe. The punishments for violent crime are so harsh, mixed with they have a level of embarrassment for embarrassing their families.
Yeah, their culture.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Like my dad's lost face if I've committed. So it's like no one's going to. And once I internalized that, I was like, oh, sweet. I'm good. I'm on my own.
What, you felt that? You saw that?
Once they told me, I realized I was wrong to fear them. It was just xenophobia. It was just fear of the others.
Wow.
And then it's like, oh, Myanmar is the same way. It's a very Buddhist country, super safe.
Yeah.
No one's even trying to scam you. And you're like, oh, what do you want? And they're like, just to practice my English. And you're like, oh, all right. that's okay.
So you would get you would get fucked up in these places?
But then also use your best judgment. Like, if I'm in Times Square, you don't get fucked up and stumble home.
No.
But if I'm in the East Village, I do. You know, it's like you judge it a little bit.
Your instincts
will
tell
you. Are all the eyes on you? If there's three dudes walking, you're safe, even if we're fucked up. No one's trying to rob three dudes.
Right.
You know?
Right.
No, it's like, unless you're putting guns into it, but also everyone in Asia is fucking tiny.
It's
like, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, you know what, though, too? Like, a lot of people don't realize with our job that because everybody's like on a hamster wheel, taking a little time off. Like, I remember I was like, I was talking to Joe List about this today. I don't work on New Year's Eve ever. And for the holidays, I like to be home. And I was like, the last thing I want to do is count down the ball dropping on stage
with strangers.
And then all of a sudden they leave and I'm like, there and I got money and I'm going. It's like, no, I'm going to like, I've done that too much. Yeah. But you need that time to just not, you know, live.
I read this book. I think it's called, it's not Black Mirror. No, it's not Trick Mirror. It's like almost a sequel to Trick Mirror. Fuck, I forgot what it's called. How to Do Nothing. And the doing nothing is part of the creative process. Taking a walk alone and not returning texts and emails, actually leaving your shit at home and just letting your, being bored and letting your mind kind of go off. Is part of the creative process. So when you're like, I'm not doing anything, we have this idea that productivity is constantly doing stuff, but productivity is actually just sitting there thinking, if you make shoes, you're like, let me think of a new design for shoes, like doing nothing until something comes to you.
Yeah.
And definitely with jokes or anything in life, anything creative, it's like sitting there being bored until it comes to you.
What's his name? Tim Dillon was saying like when he was away from-
Hate that guy.
A lot of things good happen when you take a step from back from one thing and work on another thing, because our job now, like when we first started coming up, it was you got to get stand up, get better, do sets every night, or you could get as many sets in a week, and it was like, can I get into this club? And that's what it was. Now it's like, all right, dude, so I got to get the podcast studio going. I got to get those episodes in. I'm going to be a guest on these. Then I'm going to try to run a spot.
This is all clerical work. That's not creative.
Right.
Booking a guest is like...
No.
There's no creativity.
No.
Like, what time can you be there? Okay, well, I can do three. You can do one. Oh, how about can we move it to two? That's not creative shit.
No, it's not. No, it's not at all. It's shit that
like,
we didn't think we were going to do.
Doing it. Yeah. Having to learn how to zoom in on a fucking clip is nothing to do with making everyone laugh at rape.
Should we color the captions?
Yeah,
or
my God. It's like, oh, there should be an outline on this. Like, what?
Yeah. I almost wish that it was just about the stand-up sometimes. Do you ever just wish it was just...
Dude, there was a day when Facebook and Instagram both went down because they're both the same company. And it was like for a whole day. And they hadn't released like, oh, we're the server or whatever. And there was a moment I felt everybody going, maybe it's down forever. Maybe it was hackers.
Imagine.
And it'll never be back up. And everyone was a little bit like, I'm not falling behind if the whole thing is down.
Yeah.
Kind of like with COVID, where it's like, oh, no one's working? Sweet, I can actually take time off.
But it made people
you're
feel
not
relief.
Falling behind.
Right, it made you because you weren't falling behind. And yeah. I actually thought about if there was no Facebook or anything. Like yesterday, I was scrolling through, dude, and I just saw like this horrible thing of like a 4-year-old that was beaten to death, rest his soul,
oh,
and it just like kid, and then all of a sudden another kid, and then all of a sudden a missing, and then all of a sudden R.I.P. to my uncle who I love, and I'm seeing all this heartache, dude, and I'm just like, and I'm scrolling through, and I'm
where's
going
the
like,
happiness?
And it's just like I don't, if I didn't see this, I would be, and I went to bed last night, and I thought of all the things that I just scrolled, and I'm going. Life is ugh. Like this is what the like.
It's, you ever hear about the guy at Google who's in charge of figuring out what goes into the dark web and what goes into the main web?
No, dude.
So like snuff stuff, like you can't search for that, you know?
Right.
You can't see death.
Right.
So this guy's got to look at death all day and rape and gerbils up butts and like whatever terrible stuff. Children being like with one arm.
Oh, he's got
to
like
yeah. And all those guys quit in like 8 months and have to see therapy forever.
Fuck.
Because like you're not supposed to see all this. Chris Allen, his job was to look at fucking, you know Chris Allen from Virginia Beach?
Comic.
Big black guy, yeah.
Yeah, he worked with Norman, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Good guy, funny guy. But he would have to look at like drone shit, and he would be looking at videos from not in Korea, or in Korea, but in a war-torn place, looking at video and go, that guy's about to die. And then 3, 2, 1, target locked.
Jesus.
And knowing, and it's just like, oh, this shit's getting to me. Dude, that you're on Facebook seeing all this negative, you're right. It's wearing off on
you. It's in all those documentaries. I saw this thing, this called Into the Deep. It's a doc on Netflix.
I heard that one.
And yeah, dude, and it was this guy from Denmark where he built a homemade, he was just one of these guys. Like I would say he was a small level Elon Musk in Denmark.
Okay.
Right? He built a self-made, submarine that worked.
What?
Then he wanted to send a single man rocket
crazy
to space
people.
And like yeah, and he had like a thing. And a journalist shows up and she wants to do a story and
okay.
He's like, meet me tonight on the submarine, we'll go down and everything. And then it goes missing and then all of a sudden they find him in the submarine and she's nowhere to be found. And dude,
what?
And during this time there was another reporter there doing a documentary on his rocket project. So they're shooting a doc, right? Him.
But this is the best. This is like Finding the Freemans. When you're shooting a separate doc and then you're already shooting and some crazy shit comes out. Remember Finding the Freemans? It was about a clown.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then
yeah.
It turns out, oh, he's raping his kids.
Oh, yes.
Like, yeah, so, like, oh, we've already got the cameras rolling for another context. This
yes,
is great.
So this is, so for months, she's like, so what are you going to do? You're going to do a single man rocket? And he's talking about this Copenhagen company that he used to work at. And now they're competition. And my single rocket's going to go first and all this stuff. And you're just like, well, okay. And he's like, good to his volunteers. That he's like, good people love. And then all of a sudden, dude, another, he goes, you see text. He goes, hey, if you want to come out on the thing, dude. And she just doesn't show up. And dude, they found out, you find out what the fuck this dude.
Did he eject her?
No, dude, what he did was he was, dude, he tortured her, he murdered her, he cut her up in pieces, he did all that,
no.
And then they show him the day he gets rescued, which is hours after, rest her soul, dude, her name was Kim Wall, rest her soul, brutal, and he's like, yeah, dude, I don't know what happened, and then all of a sudden the lie, all right, fine, 11 days after he was arrested, fine, the latch hit her in the head and I disposed of the then they find body parts. All right, fine. And he just kept, and dude, you find out what was he was searching and what he did. And then during the doc, the woman who was shooting the rocket.
Because also, rocket is she like, can I go in the rocket with you? And now she's like, maybe I won't.
And one of the last scenes, they showed something he said bizarre, like not long. He goes, well, listen, you know, do you know about psychopaths? He said this to the lady. Do you know about psychopaths? He goes, yeah, psychopaths come across as very charming. And they come across as this and that. But they could really be like, you know, you don't know some of the things that they might want to do. And then all of a sudden it just goes black and it's done. So he was saying shit like that to her and they all almost like pieced it together. And then some of the volunteers, one guy was like his buddy, dude. One guy was like crying, like was like hugged him when the first test rocket went up and all this stuff. And he's like, dude, he's like, this guy was at like his birthday parties. Dude, he was into tying women up, torturing them, doing all this hard, like the worst thing ever. And then he would just go and show up and like was their like leader, but he was a psychopath and he kind of was giving the message through. And dude, it was one of the most, I went and like after the Facebook shit and that, I'm like, there's evil in this fucking world, dude. Like,
it's crazy because like there's so much to analyze there. First of all, that's great. No one has to watch a documentary anymore.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, it's great. No one was gonna watch
it.
But like, he caught that. You know what I mean? Like, maybe you're into blondes. And you're like, or Asianitis, you ever hear of that?
No, what is that?
It's when you're like, I want to fuck Asians. Oh. You know what I mean? I just got a thing for Asians. So you caught Asian. I like to choke a bitch, you know, during sex. So, and like, whatever it is.
Right.
Some girls like older men or so, like whatever.
Like you a can, fetish,
and
yeah.
This guy caught torture and dismemberment.
Yeah, it's.
Or some people catch children. I like fucking 6-year-olds. And it's like, damn, I got like big boobs and you got 6-year-olds.
Well, he had this thing where now that I remember watching it, I remember seeing the things he would say when he was just doing the everyday documentary where he would go, look, the reason I'm doing this is because I want to have fun. We're all going to die. So I want to experience sending a rocket here. I want to experience a submarine. And like, I think murder was something that was like, it was like he wanted to like either, yeah, like to see that. And like, that's that's like a sick power thing. Oh my God, that's ridiculous. That's so fucking awesome. As we talking about the most horrible shit in the world, your dog
you
just cuddled up in a nice.
You would never murder anybody and dismember them, would you?
She's
would
like you? A fucking squirrel, I would.
Yeah. Oh, she went. It's a, the one she was like 2 feet away from one and just slowly moving her legs.
She kind of acted like a cat there, they just kind of slow and then it's just a burst.
And then it was on. She's never caught one.
I actually feel like when I watch that Dahmer doc and you watch these people, imagine going home before you do it.
Yeah,
knowing that that's really your urge, because there's got to be a denial.
You face it for a while. Even the gays, let's say gays in like the 40s, when you sort of feel like, oh, I like that guy's pecs, but you're like, no, what is that? No, it's not.
Right.
Can't be. And then slowly like, oh, I think I, like, how does it eventually hit you? I think I like dudes.
Right, because there has to be a time where when you look at a certain sex, right, you look at a woman and you see her curves and everything and you're into that, you can do that. If a guy that's a homosexual sees a guy and they get the same feeling, at first they're probably like,
what is that?
Right. So imagine murder is your thing and all of a sudden you're like, God, they said that's what Dahmer did, because after he would dissect animals, they said like he couldn't even look at like a piece of steak or like liver without being like,
wow.
Yeah, like so like organs and like he worked at a like
it was like a turn, what, like a turn when on.
He yeah, like they like he would see like a piece of meat on the thing and he would just like looking at it for him was like, God, I could cut that out of somebody. Like, dude, to live with that before you do it, that's like
Yeah.
Like finally, you know like, it's coming.
And also like and you know like, well, I'm in this society, so I know this is wrong. You know
like,
what I mean?
Like you know that like you got to know somebody screaming, please no, this hurts, don't do this.
Right,
to
right.
Me.
Like let's say I caught gardening, you know, where I'm like, and I pass the phone to these gardens that are all over the East Village. And I'm I wish I could get a plot. I wish I could get a plot. And then one day I'm like, I think I might get a plot. But I'm like, no one will bother me if I say like, I mean, I might get made fun of at the stand.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? But that's the worst it's going to be. But you know, I can't dismember. I know I've watched movies. This is not going to be accepted by anybody.
You know that.
Yeah. Like, so now you're like, I have this urge, but it's not going to go over well.
You know what this made me think of? Do you ever think a guy has that and he's just talking to his therapist and the therapist is like, so what's going on new? You're like, all right.
Well.
Listen, I kind of got a new thing here.
Yeah.
Because if you.
Let's move on past the neighbor fight. That was about a parking spot. Okay. I
forgave my stepfather. Yeah. Listen. I think about like killing somebody. They would have to tell, but see, you can't do that.
You can't?
No, you can't do that.
I thought they got to protect you.
I think it's a danger to others. Like if you literally look at your therapist and you go, I have the urge to stab someone to death. I don't think that they could just let you go. All right. Confidentiality. Like they'd have to be like, all right.
Dude, I told my therapist, my Rogan's manager, my friend was thinking about suicide a lot. It was years ago. Mm. And she goes, did you bring that up to your therapist ever? And I was like, no, I don't know if he'd be interested. She goes, I feel like he would be. Yeah, I didn't know any better. I was talking about something else and I was like,
did you call the suicide hotline? Nah, I don't want to bother
anybody. Yeah, I don't want to bother anybody. It's like, well, that's what they're for. Anyway, so I brought it up and then he was like, let's focus on that for a while. I'm like, yeah, but I'm still trying to work out. Like, you know, I was raised like kind of a conservative household. He goes, yeah, let's back burner that. And let's just talk about the suicide. But imagine now if like, I want to murder children.
No, dude.
Oof.
That's just like, I'm glad I caught was like liking sneakers.
Yeah.
Like, I'll just stare at your
that's
Jordans.
That's another fucking Guido thing. Sneakers.
Shoes.
Shoes.
The foot game is big.
Foot Game. For Foot Game is
really
big.
Yeah. Like today on the Verzi Effect, I had Sam Roberts come in and he had Nike. He had Air Max Ones.
Where's the Verzi Effect available? Isn't that Spotify and Apple Podcasts and YouTube?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes,
it is. Okay, I've heard about all those places.
In a studio now.
In a studio.
So in a studio now, I've finally moved into the, you know.
It's really the Verzi Full Effect now.
Now it's the shit, dude. I was thinking of a name. I go, we kind of like redid it. Should we go like Verzi 2.0? The Verzi Full Effect, I like. No, but he walked in and he had these Air Max Ones and I just the first time I couldn't even look at his face. No, all right, I go, hey man, nice to see you, dude. I go, dude, those are nice. And he just goes, yeah. He goes, these are the ones to impress. And it's like, yeah, like I, you know, but it somebody does that with like hurting somebody.
Right.
Like, that's fucking wild to me, dude. And here's the thing, he knew like.
Do you think they ever find a friend? Like, wait, you're into that too? Like when I first started thinking I didn't want kids and I thought I was a weirdo, you know, and then you meet someone else like, oh, I don't want kids. Like, wait, really? What do you mean?
Did your therapist ever tell you or give you an inclination like why you don't want kids? Like, because a lot of people don't want kids.
Yeah.
But you were like, it was almost something that you were like, I really don't want kids. Like you were vocal about it. Did they say that there was a reason? Did they discuss that with you or
no? No, that wasn't ever anything. It was just like, I'm just not interested at all.
Right. That's.
I'm having too much fun.
You were
fun.
Like, yeah, dude, I got to go to fucking Guam for fucking 6 weeks.
Nobody who has kids ever tells the whole story.
It's definitely
so
not.
I was like, it's great, it's great. I'm like, you look tired. So where's that coming from?
You're booking Singapore and you're just like, yeah, yeah, that's great. You got soccer practice?
I got into a fight on a I think a Makala Peterson like text thread about she was like, your life doesn't have to change after you have kids. And I was like, bullshit. 100% it changes. Your life's over. Changes completely. Everyone's like, no, you're an asshole. I'm like, why am I an asshole? I've just said your life changes. Like, oh, because you're a mom. And I'm like, what can't you do? I'm like, I don't know, go to Mexico City for Thanksgiving at the drop of a hat. What are you talking about?
Look, I'll tell you right now, having kids really was the greatest thing for me. I love being a dad, but does your life change? Yes. Do you have things
clearly.
To do? Yeah, dude, like I can't be like, I can't say, hey, you know what, Stace, I'm going to go to Vegas with the boys for 5 days. Like I could, but it would be
Guatemala
like.
Guatemala for 3 weeks. I decided last week going.
Dude, if I was like, Stace, I'm going to Guatemala alone for 3 weeks. She would be like, yeah, well, get a lawyer while you're there because it's fucking it's fucking over and stop doing Ari's podcast.
I don't want you hanging out with that guy. I knew he was a bad influence. I
know
all the
his
reasons.
Dog is cute, but fucking why is there a Singapore receipt?
Yeah.
No. I don't think any question when you have kids, you have to, you know, because here's the thing. And the truth is when you don't have kids.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of selfish people don't want kids. And I'm not saying you're selfish, but.
Sure.
But no. There are some people that don't want
selfish
kids.
Selfish is not as bad a word as people make it out.
No.
Selfish means self-care.
I think actually, though, it's actually good that you're doing that because you're like, look, if I'm not going to put all my energy and effort, like what you're doing a favor.
Yeah.
You know what
right.
I mean? Like it's almost good. Like, you know, that you might shouldn't
and
have.
Right. And people go like, you'd be a good dad. I'm like, so I'm a good car owner, but it's still dumb to own one in New York. It's still way too much work.
Right.
Moving the car across the street every Tuesday and Thursday. It's like, I don't want all this. If I knew how much work this guy was, I wouldn't have done it.
Right. Yeah, no, you would. I said that to you too before. Like, you definitely would be a good. There are certain people you could see, and you're like, that person should not be around kids, and then that person would be good around kids. You know who also? This is how you know. This is how you know Ari's a great dude. You know who loves Ari? Steve Simone. If Steve Simone is not the closest person to a saint on our planet, I don't know. How great is Steve Simone, dude?
He's just like, let me donate some more time for fucking sick children. She's like, come on, dude. Quit being a cliche.
Dude, he is like,
can you just donate like to something normal? Has to be the sickest fucking kids. All bald fucking cancer kids, and that's your whole life.
He's a great dude,
He's a great dude.
Oh, he's the fucking best.
Opening
man.
For me in Tampa, first weekend of February.
Oh, nice. I'll be in Tampa today. What a great room that is.
Oh, yeah. Five I just splitters? Did it for the first time.
Oh, how great was that?
Yeah, I loved it.
Oh, and the guy's
Norman's
great.
Bachelor party.
The guy's great, Brian. Too.
BT.
I mean, this dog is so chill.
I love the stretch of getting off slowly and keeping one foot on the fucking thing as long as possible.
And I can't believe you walk her in New York City, no leash, man.
No leash. Because she learned in Ecuador.
Really?
She went off
she
and
did.
Then she came back. I'm like, I guess we trust her.
Of course.
You know, it's like your kid. It's like once they get on a bike, eventually they're not coming back.
Only Ari would be like, no, dude, we're in Venezuela. And the dog just got lost.
Oh, dude, I was worried. I mean, I was up there. I'm like, what the fuck is Bandit? What the fuck? We're out in the woods. Like, I don't know. We're all freaking out. Yeah. 6:02, as soon as dinner time, she rolls. Hey, ghost.
Really?
Dinner ready?
Does like, she?
Oh,
she goes on a plane with you.
Yeah.
Like on, like in the thing, or you got to put her in this.
No, here's how you do it. You just lie and say it's a service dog, Before it was an emotional support dog, and they got rid of that. Now they made it a service dog, which actually is way easier because you go, it's a service dog. They go, does it perform a service? And you go, it does. And they go, what's that service? And you go, you're overstepping.
Wait a minute. What's the difference between an emotional dog and a service dog? The dog's got to be like serving something.
He's trained to do something, which can be like put pressure on your chest if you have whatever
loopholes.
But they can't be like, well, have a seizure right now so I can see. they can't do that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, the dog could call 911 if I pass out and faint.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. Wait, how would a dog call 911? It's like, unfortunately, I'm not fainting right now, but it's amazing.
Yeah, that's fucking what. There's
just like weed licenses. Remember weed licenses? Like, what's your sickness? Like, I have hypothermia.
Yeah, my eyes. They'd be like,
okay.
Yeah, glaucoma.
Yeah. It don't matter. It just doesn't matter. It's great. Oh, yeah. And she's calm, so nobody minds.
Nah, dude. She's chill. And I don't mind seeing a dog on the thing. There was a lady. There was an Asian woman. She had a little chihuahua on the thing. And the thing. Dude, shout out to Delta. They go like this. They put her in the furthest good part. And you still heard echoing, but she's like, you can't have that, dude.
I'll apply that same logic to children. You're crying the whole time? Stay in the bathroom until the flight goes to turbulence.
Dude, I'm with you. If you can't, your kid shouldn't be
especially the fake cry. You know a fake cry.
Oh, yeah.
Kids do fake cries. They think nobody can tell.
But
everyone can tell.
No.
And it's like, hey, dude, so you're not even actually in pain. I get your ears are popping the first time in your life. It's annoying, but you don't know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah.
You're fake crying, and there's other people around.
Yeah,
save that shit for home.
Because you know when a scream is inconsolable and it's real, and you know when a kid's like, I usually get my way, and I'm
going to
do that.
I want chicken steaks. Yeah. So like, well, there's none at this restaurant. Oh, I don't want to be in that position forever. Well, there's not, but I want it. Well, there is none. Bobby, there is none. So I don't know what to tell you.
See, but parents won't do that.
Right.
Parents won't do that. They'll go, and then if you say, can you come, you know, don't talk to him like that. Yeah, you can't. Like,
well, you're not talking to him, so it's on me.
Dude, our kid, like I said to Joe List today, I go, this is the first time ever that I actually want my crowd to be older in history. Like, you don't want your crowd to, dude.
Too young. They're a little offended.
You can't say, like.
They're a little. I don't know. You drop a hard F-bomb at the right place, and they're like, what?
Right. But then you touch. Then you say, like, you know, what is it called? Indian style. You can't say Indian style anymore.
Yeah.
You're like, what? No, that's really.
Okay, crisscross applesauce.
Yeah. It's like, who's saying that? I'm not saying that.
And you're like, no, because what I'm trying to do is I'm making fun of Native Americans. maybe you guys didn't understand. I'm actually trying to hurt Native Americans for not getting completely wiped out. This halfway shit ain't going to cut it.
Yeah, I like a nice 35-year-old.
Who's getting offended? 1/64th of you that's part of the Cherokee Nation? Get the fuck out. You're white.
Are you a Redskins fan? Are you a Commanders fan?
I love the name Redskins, and I even more love the name Washington Football Team. I don't like this Commanders. I wish they left it.
Wait,
WFT.
You liked it, the Washington Football Team?
Yeah.
Is that your team or no? Oh, no. You're who are you?
Cowboys.
Oh, that's right. You're Cowboys, Yankees.
Honor, respect, class.
You love Jerry or no?
No, he's the
worst.
Oh, dude,
by the way, I heard the guy...
died?
No. He's positive signs. He's back. He's awake.
Hamlin?
Hamlin's awake.
Wow.
He's awake and he's like talking to his... Like he's like... Talk to that.
What an interesting one, because it's like what happened to him is not that crazy. He had a heart attack. 50,000 people a day have those.
No, but what it was it was that thing. That,
it was the
that
hit.
It was what it was. It's a very rare condition, and it happens a lot more in. Doctors are just talking about it. It happens a lot more in hockey and baseball when the puck or baseball hit you in that spot during. It's like milliseconds of the beat.
Yeah.
What it does is it throws off the electrical something, and it causes that. So what happened was. Higgins' shoulder pad hit him right there.
Wow.
And this is what they're saying. They said this is like in medical books that rarely happens. And it's a timing thing. That's what they're saying that they think this was. It hits him there and it does something to his heart, like electric, like, and he gets up and then he went down. And the only way to survive it is like immediate CPR, which
he was in a place with medical people and airlift, and like he was in the right spot.
Dude, CPR was quick. They pumped it back.
Because the ref and the other players, he gets up after it's happened and then he's like, fall.
Yeah,
the other players, you can see like, are you faking a... What?
Yeah, like it looked
like what are you doing?
No, like,
it doesn't
like,
make sense.
No,
for a
when
second.
They were like when I saw Josh Allen like this, you knew that they were like, oh, this guy's not hurt. This guy's
I'm glad they didn't play the game. I'm glad they didn't go, fuck, it's so sad, but we got, you know, it's a lot of money. We got to play it. Like, no, we're humans.
Yeah, if they would have been like, you know, there was some meathead in a bar. Fuck it, played it. It's like, you know, it's like, that would have been real shitty if they did
that.
Yeah,
like, what are we going to do now for the rankings? Like, I don't know, but their friend died.
And they're both.
Or almost died. Like, what do you mean? Do you think that's important?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's. I'm just glad to hear that he's like he's actually awake
Here's
now.
Here's one. What matters are mushrooms. Your buddy, maybe he's dead, or we're only going to play a 16-game schedule this year. Right. You know? You know?
Yeah.
It's like, all right.
Dude, I tell you what. I saw Joshua Tree pictures. I got to do that once in my life, dude. That looked like Dean Del Rey posted something where it was like this glass house in like the middle of fucking, it was like a glass, dude. And I was just like, you rented that. It had like all this amazing like wooden stairs in this living room. And you look out to just, and I'm going, dude, that would be.
So that one we did when we all did mushrooms, there was a shower that opened up into like just the desert, like big hot ceiling doors, so you're just showering and like it's like naked, but you're looking out of the desert. It's just like, I love showering outside.
Oh, dude, that sounds
nuts. Josh, she's great. You got to do mushrooms though.
You can't, yeah, can't just do weed.
Going to full.
Yeah. I mean, good weed. Because the thing is this: if I go to the Joshua Tree, and I want to, will mushrooms make me not remember, like really experience it?
Oh, you'll experience it, and also it's not the Joshua Tree. That's not fucking, like a spot.
That's how fucking.
That's
how Guido.
Yeah.
We go to the Joshua like it's a nightclub. We're gonna go to the Joshua Tree tonight. We're gonna fucking.
Is Guido an insult? Can it be like Jew, depending on how you use it, or is it not an insult at all?
Well, if you said like, oh yeah, dude, my friend, he's a Jew, like, or well, my friend, you know, Tony, he's Guido, like, it wouldn't be,
right.
It wouldn't be like, it's not.
Can it be derogatory?
If I think it's like how you, like this Guido fuck came in and wanted to pay for everything, yeah. I'd like a tough guy, that's different.
But then you could do that even to Italian, which is not an insult, it was the Italian fuck wanted to come in, it's really the fuck
that's
the insult.
I think the fuck after any kind of like fuck.
You guys paying you Guidos? You like, that's harsh without the fuck.
I only do it when I'm driving.
Do what?
Like.
Guido out?
No, just be like, this fuck, you know? Like,
oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
You just say what they are, even if it's fat. This fat fuck, this fuck, look at this, this short fuck.
It's such a license to get racist, homophobic, misogynist, anything you want to do.
Almost violent thought. That's almost, actually when I only have violent thoughts, is like, if somebody cuts me off where I can be hurt, that's when I'm like,
I want to hurt you back.
I want to hurt you back.
Yeah.
Because you put me and my loved ones in danger.
Have you ever thought of, I want to have enough money and time in my hands where if I see someone's tailgating me, just go, nope. Just step on the brake.
Yes.
Let him smash into me. I'm like, yes. Yeah, we'll get delayed now. Yeah, yes. I don't think for now. We got to exchange information. Yes. Your day's ruined because you had to tailgate me, didn't you?
Do you get anxiety when somebody's behind you for a long time and then all of a sudden now you're just like, yeah, you go slower, right?
Yeah, and sometimes I'm high. And I'm driving, and the thing says 40, and the other thing says 50, so I don't know. I'm going 44, and they're honking, they're right on me. I'm like, now I'm freaking out. I'm high, dude. You can't be putting pressure on me. Yeah. Now I'm going 38.
Yeah, yeah.
Now no one's working.
Yeah.
Give me some space. Let me calm down. Pressure is not the way to go.
Did you ever sit in bumper-to-bumper traffic to the point where it was such gridlock that you were like, you know what? This car's not that great. I'm just getting out. I'm just kidding.
Oh, wow. I'll just leave it. I'll just abandon it.
Dude, that's my, like, after 2 hours of not moving, I can't handle it.
Oh, yeah. Well, in L.A., the greatest thing was everyone just had weed in their car. Dean Del Rey actually said he was driving with his motorcycle.
Is that a dog pill?
What? No, it's like a fucking sleeping pill for the airplane. I have sleeping pills and I have fucking these.
Oh, jeez, I was like, this guy's...
At any moment.
Yeah, she's like...
I know, sure. I think it was when I stomped.
Oh, is that... Oh, okay.
Yeah. Ben, it's okay, buddy. You're okay, bud.
I was just hoping it wasn't like a seizure. And I was just, that she does that?
Yeah, and motorcycles too. Come here,
buddy. Come here. Oh, dude, this dog is like... It's okay. The cutest thing ever, man. Shit. Okay. Yeah, look at this guy. It's okay. He doesn't want kids. It's kiss. Okay, girl.
Can I get a kiss? Yeah, I want to crash into people so fucking bad.
Oh, dude.
Or just like, oh, God.
Well, my number, I said if I was a serial killer, and this is true. I've said this before on podcast, so I'm not trying to repeat myself. But if I was a serial killer, it would be against the cyclists, especially in our neighborhood, because there's no shoulder. So they stay in the middle, arrogant.
Yeah.
They stay
Remember,
in the-
Teen Wolf, where the guy just... popped his tire a little bit.
Oh, did he?
His Ferrari just kind of hit his tire until he like went off into a cliff.
Oh, dude, in the suburbs, they got the full get up. They all meet at the same coffee shop. They'll be in the middle of the thing. And then when you're trying to go, they go like this. And it's like, and sometimes they'll make you come out where a car's coming, dude.
Why are you wearing rubber pants? You're biking for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Just wear jeans. Today. Fucking calm down.
Bart Nichols, they're dressed like Spider-Man.
Like Venom.
Yeah, it is a whole get up. It's a little like, it's kind of like a team club.
Yeah. Verzi's special. You got to check it out. Go see him at Gotham and in Toronto, but in Pittsburgh on Valentine's Day. But definitely go check out his special, Nocturnal
Admissions
on Netflix right now. If you don't have Netflix, then I don't know. I mean, you got Netflix. Just steal an account.
Dude, everyone's Netflix, got Netflix. I mean,
yeah, Bobby was saying something about not wanting to release specials for free because it devalues it. I'm like, Netflix is also free. Everyone already has it.
Yeah, like everyone's no like, oh, YouTube. It's like, dude, like it's almost like it's like YouTube at your finger. It's like right there.
Yeah, it's the same thing. You already have Netflix. Yeah. So go to it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have CBS Online. That was free and now you got to pay for it. And have
do you
a
watch
cable
TV
and
anymore?
No. Like, even when you see it at a bar, you know, and you like see a commercial, you're like, whoa, weird. You know, it just feels so awkward and strange.
It's like lawn darts. It's
especially
over.
When it's on mute, so you're not into it at all. You see, like,
you just look at it, you're like, what is that?
What is that? And they can't even curse. So you have a hard, grizzled cop going, get off my lawn. I swear to, they can't even say Christ. I'm like, I swear to everything that's holy, I'll end you. You're like, what? Call him the N word, dude. This is your cop.
Should you be chasing somebody?
Yeah, planting evidence.
Yeah, no, it's all just crime. It's all an actor with a badge running down the street after somebody, or you know, like when's the last time you watched a late night?
Friggin', oh my god!
I mean, late night sucks. Is. I mean,
the best is. I remember seeing a Seth Meyers. You know these few moments where it like it comes clear to you.
Yeah,
I saw Seth Meyers. You know that guy.
I know. I'm familiar.
And he was interviewing some dumb model actress, and he was on. Didn't he have like the third slot? Second.
He
or
was.
Third
a,
slot?
He was. He was the late one.
Right.
So it was Fallon.
Maybe.
Then him.
Fallon. Then straight to him, or was he after that? After.
Oh, there was a late. No. He was second. Then
he was second.
So it was.
Okay.
It would be Fallon, and then him, and then there was the late. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah.
Like the Carson Daly.
Some, yeah. Yeah.
Regardless, not the main slot. Not the Letterman Leno slot.
Not the
that.
11
right.
slot.
Nobody
right.
gave a shit.
Right.
And he's interviewing some model actress. That's all he could get. And she's saying some dumb fucking story because she's a model and an actress. So she's double vapid. She's a black hole. And he's like, oh my God. And you could tell he's like, dude, you're a creative. You know this isn't a funny story.
Oh,
and
I see what you're saying.
You've got to act like it is. For some, not even a real celebrity. At least if fucking Danny DeVito's drunk and fucking, I had limoncello last night. You're like, this is a train wreck, but it's fucking cool. It's the Penguin.
Did you see Pesci on Letterman?
No.
Came out with a lit stick, smoking a cigar. God. Dude, and didn't like, and they were like talking.
Didn't even think twice.
Could care less if CBS didn't want to do it. And he's just smoking and he's just, and he was, dude, he was Pesci on the couch.
Wow.
It was fucking.
That's great.
Oh,
that's
dude,
great.
It was great.
That's great. So now that's a guy who still cares. And then you get like, when it's over, when you get Seth Meyers having to pretend to like this dumb lady he just found out about yesterday.
Do you think.
And it's like, what are we doing here?
Do you think because numbers are, well, that's why Conan left, right? Conan left. Didn't Conan leave because he was just like, I'll do the podcast? Conan O'Brien.
I think they were right. They're like, nobody's watching TBS late night.
Yeah.
This is dumb.
It was more of a TBS thing then?
It was like, no. And he's like, it's like, why am I even doing this? Yeah. I've done it for fucking 30 years.
Yeah, he did it for a long time.
And it's like the numbers have gone down, 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 down. I was making trends and now I'm just like, people are like, oh, you're still on?
I'll tell you what I miss with network.
What?
Game shows. And I never even watched, but like game shows.
What do you mean? Which ones? Are you talking about like a Price is Right? Or are you talking about Let's Make a Deal?
No, not Let's Make a Deal. I'm talking about like more like Price is Right.
Those are so fun.
You know, Price is, and even
those
some,
are fun TV. That if you watch Price, if you're on whatever at the airport and Price is Right is on, you're getting into it,
dude. Price is Right
when
they did
I'll
showcase.
See you at the showcase showdown.
Yeah,
you're
like,
first round winner.
This
I'll see
guy
you later.
Might get a fucking boat and a dune buggy.
Dude, when it goes off, when it goes, somebody's within $100. Like,
oh,
oh
dude.
Shit! And they're both like, oh my god,
god
I get both.
Right when they go a new car, and then there's like a kayak, and you're like, this was the better one, and the second showcase was always better. Remember
second
they would.
It's always better.
They would pass and be like, you know what, I like that, but it was like a couch and like a fur coat.
Wait.
And they're like, I'll wait. And then it was like a boat, a fucking kayak.
It's the best when they. It's always the new car was the thing. And they open up, it's like, oh, new car. And you're like, yes. Because sometimes it's like it's a trip to Cancun, and you're like, I mean, I don't really have time for this.
I remember I saw one get a trip. I was young. I was a little kid. And they were like, you want a trip to New York City? And I'm like, I can go.
I
like that was. And meanwhile, they're like
you
in California.
Yeah, they're like, what? How about like, anywhere I want?
And I was like, it's dirty, there's bums. They wouldn't do that now.
Too many Guidos.
You get stabbed at the subway.
a real commercial?
A real commercial.
Yeah. Leave your phone in your purse and it will be gone.
You're going to be mugged on the L train. If you're Asian, stay home.
Look at these drunk hipsters getting home. What are they wearing? Is that a top hat? What's weird?
Do you want to see hipsters get their rents paid by their rich parents? Well, come on down.
The most manicured mustaches you'll ever see.
Is this an area? Oh, you were saying this area is a little hipstery?
Not hipstery. Bro dudes.
A bro
it used to
dudes.
Be degenerate. You'd have like a little bit of crime. You'd have somebody late at night when I'm walking home from the cellar. People are like, coke, coke, coke. Even when I live further west. And I'd be like, no, but stay around the neighborhood. I like the fact that you're here. And now there's all these bro dudes. So you know what's popping up? Things to feed them. So like when gentrification happens, suddenly the bodegas start carrying like Ferrero Rocher, you know, and it's like, who's that for? It's for the whites.
Yeah.
So you know what's happening now? Because these 24-year-old fucking drunk idiots, Taco Bells are popping up.
Yep.
And dumb fucking no-class shit's popping up.
Okay, yeah. Because
that's what they crave.
That shitty food, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, no, the point of this place was boutique shops, crazy one-off restaurants.
Yeah, mom and pop shops.
Mom and pops,
like,
wine bars, and now it's just like, ugh, club music.
Yeah, yeah.
You gotta ever go to Poco? Poco on 4th and I think B, and it's like, trash. And then the place next to him, well, it's like we gotta market to the runoff from Poco.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So I remember the drug dealer outside the cellar. It was funny when you just reminded me when you go coke, coke. This guy goes, oh, you want weed? I got that weed. I'm like, nah. He's like, coke then? Like, he went higher.
Yeah.
Like, that was like, dude, I said no to weed.
Yeah, he's go down. Go, how about a necklace? They do that in Cabo and all those places. They're like, necklace, necklace. I'm like, no, cocaine? Cocaine? Like, damn, dude.
Dude, we got
inch up.
We got off the ship in Lisbon, Portugal.
Ooh,
we were, this
cool.
was, and it was just like, hashish, hashish. Like,
really?
Just chunks of hash and chunks of, like, right when you
Lisbon?
Got there. I went to Lisbon, yeah. This is years ago. I was 22 years old and I did an expensive, my dad, my brother, and my stepmom did a cruise from, we flew to Venice, Italy, and we cruised back. Like, so we did all spots in New York, in Italy.
Yeah.
And then we stopped in Lisbon, Portugal on the way. Wow. And then we did 4 straight days transatlantic.
Wow, transatlantic.
All the eye could see for 4 days was just water. Like, the horizon was just water.
Interesting.
So we were just like this little, it was kind of like a little, you see how small, you're like even the ship, and the ship was like a hotel on water.
Right, right.
But it was just like, and it wasn't like an Impractical Joker ship.
Right.
Like,
it was really big, like, with pools.
Dude, this made like the Impractical Joker ship look like a fucking rescue boat.
Wow.
You know, yeah, but it was cool. But yeah, you get off those islands or you get on there, and it's either they try to sell you jewelry and drugs.
Yeah. Yeah, because they're like, that's all you're going to want right here.
Yeah.
You got to do my new podcast.
Love to.
You'd be tripping. It's going to come. I got to talk to
you. You got
to
come on the full version.
Full version effect. Yeah. The version full effect. All right.
Thanks for having me, dude.
Paulie, thanks you.
You're
a fucking
best.
Guido. My only Guido. Nah, Brett's my only Guido friend. You're my only dabbler.
You got
Guido
one
friend.
And a half.
Yeah. Shout out, Brett Ernst. Love you, buddy. All right.
That's amore.
Bells will ring.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling.
And you sing Vita Bella.
Vita Bella, Vita Bella. Hearts will play.
Tippy-tippy-tay,
like a gay tarantella.
Lucky fella.
Well, that was the show, everybody. I hope you had a good time. Oh, that was a great one. Thank you very much, Paul Verzi, for coming in. Check out his special Nocturnal Admissions, available right now on Netflix.com. No, it's not Netflix.com, it's just Netflix. And you know, my special, Ari Shaffir Jew, best special that you've seen in 5 years, is out on YouTube right now. I've made 70% of my money back, so that's pretty good. About that, I gotta do the total numbers, but I'll have a party when I get all the money back. But in terms of ticket sales, everything's going great. Added 2 shows in Pittsburgh. Added 2 shows in Salt Lake. Both of those sold out. Added a 3rd show, sold out. Added a 4th show. I've never done Monday shows before. Added a 2nd show in Vancouver on the 24th. The Moore Theater on the 23rd. Beacon on the March 24th. I'm going to Zurich. I'm doing a fucking 1,000 seater. It's great. Everything's going well. Stockholm will be a big one. Amsterdam, no Copenhagen this trip, but we'll get back there. I think I've said everything. The Denver dates will be the greatest hits. I'm really culling all the fucking... Leave me a message. If you have a best bit that you know of mine over the years, leave a comment if you're watching on YouTube, or send me a DM or a message on Instagram. Kylo will read it and tell me what you say. Your favorite bits over the years. I'm trying to get them all and really make this... It's going to be an interesting show for sure in Denver. It's greatest hits. Never done anything like that. Tampa, we added extra shows. I didn't say Tampa. We added extra shows. First weekend of February. Get tickets now. And that's it. That's it. I think, I don't know what else to say. I think I have nothing to say. To the killer in Idaho, nice try, dude. You know, nice try. The perfect crime is always going to be out there. But it's hard to get it. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure to follow Paul Verzi. Make sure to reach out to him and let him know you had a good time on this episode. As always, reach out to my guests. Tell them you enjoyed it, and they'll be more likely to come back and do another one. Paul's a good guest. He's relaxed. We've known each other for long enough. And you can never quite replace, look at that, from far away, the chemistry you get with a comic that has known another comic for a long time. Check out me on Greg Fitzsimmons' podcast. We had a great one over Zoom, but it's still great. Me and Greg go back. We're always comfortable. That's it. Like I said, Rick Glassman next week. Nate Marshall returns in a couple weeks with Colm Terrell. And I got nothing else to tell you. See you guys.